Hi, everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest is Sam Scheppler. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Testimonial Hero. Now, some of you in the audience are probably thinking, testimonials, oh yeah, that's the thing that we're supposed to be doing a lot of for social proof, for all this advancement into the pipeline. Well, Sam has a company that specializes in leveraging customer stories so that you can close deals faster, so that you can add more qualified opportunities to the pipeline if you're doing business development, or so you can expand your base of accounts so they stay longer with you, higher lifetime value, higher revenue potential, and that will make everyone in the company or in your business very happy. So Sam, welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks so much, Mary Lou. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very good. So what got you, you're the founder and CEO, what was that aha moment that you said, I need to stop what I was doing and start up a company that is dedicated to this particular part of the sales process?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, it was a couple things. One was just, so I had experience at a prior company, and I realized that the projects, you know, as it pertains to video content, the projects that our buyers, you know, our customers always were the happiest with and saw the most results from were customer stories. So, you know, video testimonials specifically. And also just personally, you know, for me, it was something that really resonated with me because it's kind of fulfilling to tell those real stories, right? It's like you can write scripts for ads and that's fun. And that's a different type of creativity, but I personally love the, you know, the sort of, just the authenticity of the fact that like we're building a story from a real customer experience and it has huge value for, you know, the buyer.
Mm-hmm. And so what were you doing before? Were you always in sales and then realized that there is this missing component to what you were seeing out there and the tools that you had? I'm curious as to how this one piece, although hugely important, was what you gravitated to. What was it about testimonials and video testimonials in particular, correct? That's what you specialize in. What was it that got you to the point where saying, you know, this would be something that I would get up in the morning and absolutely love to be able to help others master?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, it was a mix of sort of just an observation in seeing the opportunity that, you know, we now kind of, you know, live in a world where, you know, marketing content alone, it just isn't enough to really sufficiently accelerate deals, right? You know, you really do need, you know, customer stories, and I've felt that, you know, as a seller, as a founder, I could feel things were shifting, and I could feel the opportunity, and it was kind of a problem that I wanted to solve for myself as well, right. And I didn't really feel like anyone was sort of solving it. So, you know, I had been running the previous company, to make the long story short, I had actually, you know, that company got acquired and I was looking for a new, problem to solve. And this was the problem that I was the most excited by. And I've been doing it for 3 years now and every day, especially, you know, with, you know, COVID, now we do fully remote customer mm-hmm. testimonials. And so there's always, it's proved to be, you know, very rewarding, very exciting.
So let's hone in on that. As we are speaking, we're coming on a year of, I know for me, I was, it's like, where were you when you got the message that you better get home? You know, it just feels like that. I was in Denmark and got the call from one of my associates in the United States saying, book a flight like now because they're going to close the airport and you'll be stuck in Denmark forever. So based on, you know, that's where we are today, 1 year into the pandemic. How have things changed for you? Because what's really interesting, what really gravitated me to want to talk to you was, when I think of video, anything, I think of, you got to go to a studio, you got to, you know, get everything set up. It's a face-to-face kind of thing. I would imagine this is the most freeing. Just sometimes COVID can be a decent thing for people because it makes us think outside the box. So tell us how things have been going since this happened, and what specifically has changed for you as a company in rolling out your service to potential clients?
Absolutely. And, you know, so, and I would definitely say at first it was a big challenge, and then it really forced us to kind of, you know, innovate, and turned out to be a silver lining. You know, and so, so at first we were really, you know, focused on this in-person, you know, model. And then we actually have a network of videographers all over the world. And, you know, basically how our company operated, you know, pre-COVID was, you know, we have, you know, one of our clients, they need a testimonial filmed in, you know, Berlin, Germany. They need one in San Francisco, and they need one in Toronto. And, you know, we have the crews to kind of do that and kind of and keep it a cohesive style. And then, of course, COVID hit. So that was all like on pause. So the next thing that we sort of thought about was like, well, people still need video testimonials, you know, people, you know, honestly, more than ever, right? You know, it only, you know, we've since seen, you know, quite a good amount of recovery. But, you know, more than ever, you know, social proof, you know, is essential to just, you know, reduce friction, you know, in all of our sales processes. So we sort of, you know, worked from kind of first principles around like, what is the best camera that everyone has on them? And, you know, the answer for sure was, you know, everyone's cell phone. So
cell phone. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. And so that's kind of, you know, that at a high level, you know, what we have, you know, created is this process where, you know, we actually interview, one of our producers, you know, interviews the customer, and, you know, what, and actually coaches them on how to, you know, self film themselves with their own smartphone. Then they get the footage, and that, you know, then we just work off that cell phone footage. So it's so much higher quality than, you know, for example, a webcam, you know, which, you know, you might be subject to kind of internet or bandwidth issues.
Right. Not to mention lighting. Some places like my house, the sun is blinding in some cases where my computer is. And then at night, it looks like I'm in a dungeon. So it's not necessarily conducive to a pleasurable viewing environment.
Absolutely. And that's exactly like one of the big, you know, challenges that we ran into is like, how do we sort of turn, you know, just, you know, average Joes or Janes into a video pros, right? And we have that basically like, you know, a 30-minute slot with, you know, our customer's customer, the first 5 to 10 minutes, we, you know, figure out all of those lighting details, you know, sound, you know, where's the best place. And then, you know, the last 20 minutes, we're actually, you know, running the interview and diving into their customer story. But at the same time, you know, we have to be really respectful of, you know, the customer is ultimately doing our client a favor. So, you know, there's always like a, you know, sort of a, you know, sort of a relationship there that, you know, maybe we could ask them to completely move, but like, maybe that's just too much. You know, you have to kind of read the room, and it's all about, you know, figuring out what's the best, you know, most reasonable situation given this sort of, you know, given the social and political and, you know, practical dynamics.
Right. But it sounds like that you have figured out a formula that is global now because of what you just said, because if you're working with them, they're using their cell phone, and the cell phones now do have a very high quality video output. And if you filter them with, I'm assuming we'll get into the process in a bit, but you actually send them questions that they can ponder and they can answer and record themselves answering those questions. And then what happens? You get it and then you put it together into the finished masterpiece. Is that the post-processing, I think they call it, or post-editing or something?
Post-production. And yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. So like, and then one of the things is like, so about, 90% of our customers are, B2B software companies. So what we actually can do is, insert some product, sort of like product user interface shots and apply some nice, branded graphics. And that way we can sort of cut away from the speaker because, that's one of the biggest challenges is when we used to go to people's offices, we could film all this great, it's called a B-roll, right? You film them,
right.
Someone walking down the hallway and then, we've really had to also innovate on those other aspects. Honestly, the best way to describe it would just be to, for someone to, if they're curious, would be to watch one of the videos. But, it's really, we figured out some really good ways to leverage, basically product user interface to kind of, allow for those natural kind of cuts that, need to be made to kind of tell the best story.
Right. So let's talk about the ideal client for you. People in the audience that are, we're in the right world now because a lot of the folks that listen to this podcast are selling mostly B2B. There's some B2C as well, but mostly B2B products. Is there a size of company that this quote unquote works better for? Or are you of the mindset that it doesn't matter how big you are. It's important for social proof. It's important for authenticity that you have these videos available because we are watching more videos now because we're home. And as you mentioned before, content is out there, but weeding through the content assets and reading and it's more entertaining to actually watch a video and you tend to watch it for a longer duration. So I'm curious, is there a point where you think a service like yours really kicks it into high gear? Or is it a mindset of as soon as you get good clients that you think would be great to record, kind of make that roadmap happen? What do you suggest there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a couple ways that I would look at it. I think, for one, any sort of questions, fears, or doubts, QFDs that your, prospects, what may have, those can be addressed, through the voice of the customer, even more credibly, than, they could be from your own reps or from your own, marketers, right? Because as customers, we really, as buyers, like we want to hear from, our peers. So it's just, there's just that credibility. And that's really the biggest benefit, right? And then because of that credibility and that social proof, the result, is just, decreased friction. You're able to move things along faster and close deals faster as it pertains to who can benefit from it. Like you said, there's really no one who can't benefit from social proof. It's more, I think, about making sure you use it, at the right time, and specifically that you don't, use it too early in the buyer journey. And what I mean by that is, in my experience, most sort of, buyers are early in the buyer journey. They might even be in denial that they have a problem, right?
They are in denial.
Yeah, they are in denial. So you can, you can hit them with the best testimonial, but, there isn't that kind of, fertile ground for that, seed to take hold in their mind yet because they don't admit they have a problem. So, I think, the main thing is, testimonials are, especially video testimonials are amazing. And I can get into more, why specifically video and not, text, but But the mean, I think, is like, if you use them like too early when the prospect is still in denial, you know, of course, it's not really going to catch on yet.
Well, it's funny you say that, because a lot of times now I'm speaking more text-based, so it'll be interesting to see the difference, hear what you have to say of text versus video. Text meaning digital conversation, not a text as in text from the phone. But what I've been finding is if we pull together a should ask questions series and embed where it makes sense, customers talking about they're overcoming these objections, you know, what they originally thought. So even though testimonials talk about primarily results and the biggest benefit, but there's also this other side when, just as you pointed out, they don't know what they don't know. They don't know they have a problem. But if they hear something by a peer or colleague that they've been kind of wondering, and then they realize that, oh, they're thinking the same thing. They weren't sure about whether this would work or not for them, or whether they should even worry about it being a problem. So I'll push back on you a little bit in that I think sometimes up front, high up in the funnel, there may be a place where you can introduce a should ask question in the form of an objection and then link them to XYZ company thought this, and boom, link them to a testimonial that they can view. I think those also have the ability to enhance the relationship and build trust and rapport early on that you would normally not get, because you're telling them about the objection and you're telling them that, you know, it was overcome by XYZ company versus hearing it from the other person. Sometimes I think that would also be a place that's further up in the funnel that these would probably be very valuable.
Actually, you're absolutely right. And you know, that's a key distinction, I think. And I think, you know, we're seeing the best companies, you know, start to do this more, right? The best, you know, B2B SaaS companies are really taking more of, you know, a full funnel approach. And, you know, whereas it sort of used to be in the old days, like, you know, customer, you know, case studies, you know, the written PDF case study was like what you got, like, at, you know, you're finally, you're, it's like really late in the funnel. And now, you know, absolutely, you know, we're seeing it throughout. And totally agree with you. I think the big distinction, when customer stories are used earlier in the funnel, you know, just like you said, is like it can't be so much about, you know, ROI metrics necessarily, because it's first about getting, you know, them to admit they have the problem and just, you know, getting them sort of aware there. But yeah, you're exactly right. And actually I don't usually say that, cause it's like, I don't usually like get into the full funnel approach, but, you're such a good point.
Well, I think, you know, I have spent 30 years now in getting people to like hit their head saying, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way, you know? And part of that is to get to the emotional side. We're not into the logical ROI side of things when we're at top of funnel all the time. I mean, we get to there for sure. Don't get me wrong. But we're starting with a more of an emotion-based approach. So it's sort of like the hero's journey. You know, there's a problem that has to be solved. And because of that, I have found, and I think I read somewhere on your website that you have seen 40% faster close, you know, the shrinkage of time to revenue. It's amazing how fast it can accelerate time to revenue. And I read somewhere, maybe I'm pretty sure it was your website, about 40% faster closing. Well, this is the same thing at top of funnel. It's around 40%, 30% or so, where in order to get the initial conversation started, if we front load that with some emotional, in this case, video that explains, you know, I was there too. I was, you know, a doubter about this thing. but look what happened. And then you kind of go into the results and the benefits and things, but it's done in a way that, you know, is like, I was there with you. I have been on that journey. Here's my success path, but I started very skeptical. And we're finding that that really works well. And it's worthy of building your, especially the most common objections that you're constantly getting, is worth putting the time into creating these video scripts. And maybe you just put them on your website. Maybe you send them out in a series of touches over time continuum when the timing is right. Or maybe it's newsworthy. So maybe there's a compliance reason why you want to do the compliance. Like right now, the vaccinations, you know, everybody's like freaking out about where you go, how this works. So if they did a, you know, I was there too, here's what you do. You go do this, that, these, and those. And I think those just build that trust and rapport, not at a human, like what you're trying to do when you get further into the funnel, but at least it opens the willingness to listen and the willingness to have a conversation to take it perhaps to that next step. And video, I think, is the vehicle that can do that better than anything else.
Absolutely. And yeah, I totally agree. And because another thing, you know, to that point of like why video is that, you know, I do think, you know, where we've sort of in you know, especially in SaaS, you know, sales and marketing, we have reached a point where a lot of people see quotes, you know, written on a website or, you know, a quote, you know, testimonial quote in a PDF, and they sort of know that, okay, like they probably, you know, they went back and forth on this legal, you know, like, okay, you can say this, you can't say that. And then by the time the quote actually comes out, you know, it's sort of lost a lot of the authenticity and become like a little bit watered down. And it doesn't, it's like true voice of the customer.
Right.
Whereas like, it's not like they wouldn't have approved it if they didn't agree with it, but you lose a lot of that, you know, that humanity. And then on video, it's like, you can just literally see, this is the person, you know, right there. This is exactly what they said. And I think that is very powerful as well.
And in video, you can do what I actually took a video writing, script writing class just a few months ago, because I was just so enamored with these shorts, you know, doing something in 3 minutes that, you know, it takes us like 6 weeks to do in terms of convincing somebody. Because again, I'm working at top of funnel where I'm trying to persuade people, kind of love them and leave them, persuade them very quickly so they'll want to have a conversation with us and then pass them along to somebody else to close. And I was trying to figure out, you know, how can I compound challenges that I know these people are going through? And this whole threat payoff, plus linking their desire, that could be done in a video with a client casually mentioning the threat and how they were able to overcome it. And then they found this threat and they were able to overcome it that way. And directing client to go in that order, I found was extremely, extremely profitable for us in terms of getting more conversations, because there was a believability that, oh my gosh, they've gone through the same thought process that I've been thinking about and they figured it out. So maybe I should try it too. And I think video, more than any other medium right now, is the way that we can explain that and then put it into the voice of someone who's been there, is believable, and we naturally trust. I mean, the title underneath there, you know, when you put their title or their role, it's like, they're me. That's me. I identify with that person. And I just am so happy that you decided to do this because it's really... hardest thing is, how do we figure this out? You know, how do we kind of put this all together? And that term B-roll is very scary, you know, because what does that mean? Is it like an hour and you got to dwindle it down to 3 minutes? How does that all work? So tell us about the service. Walk us through. Let's pretend, you know, we've got a project together and I've got a couple clients that I would like you to interview. Walk us through what the normal process is for your team to get started, and then in the post-production phase, you know, when can we expect our video from you on average?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the first, you know, thing that we start out with for every, you know, project is really is the strategy. So, you know, we have a strategy document that asks about 10 questions, you know, such as, you know, who is this, who is the client, right? Like, what is their sort of relationship?
Right.
You know, what is the goal for this video? You know, what is the, you know, what does the perfect message sound like? You know, you know, what are the three things that we want the audience to absolutely take away after watching this? What is the actual action, you know, that we, you know, want the audience to perform? So
very important, first, that call to action.
Exactly. And so, yeah. So really it's all about, you know, beginning with the end in mind, and understanding, you know, what the outcome that we want to achieve is. Mm-hmm. From there, you know, we work backwards, and the first place we work backwards to is the actual interview questions that we're going to ask the testifying client, because, you know, it's, you know, good questions, you know, get good answers, and, you know, okay questions, you get okay answers, right?
Right.
So it's so important to, when, especially when you have a limited amount of time with the client, you want to be respectful of their time, but you also want to capture as much, you know, content as possible that, you know, can be extended, you know, in multiple videos down the line, you know, social media. So we really try to figure out, you know, once we understand the strategy, you know, our producers figure out, you know, what are the, you know, to achieve all these goals in, you know, a 20 to 30 minute interview, what are the 15, you know, absolute best questions that we can ask? It's usually around, you know, 15 to 20. So that is the next step there is actually getting to those, interview questions. There's also, you know, just scheduling. We schedule a time, you know, our customers just, you know, introduce us via email to, so if it was a client of yours, you would just introduce us via email. You know, we'd, you know, schedule, with your client, and we conduct the interview. It's about a 30-minute total ask. So we try to keep it, you know, again, pretty, you know, short, just to make it an easy ask for you of your client. Like, we don't, you know, want it to be too crazy to ask, because then it's just, you know, it's harder, right?
Sure.
So we conduct the interview, we get the footage, and then usually about, you know, 2 weeks after the actual, you know, remote interview happens, you know, the first draft of your video will be ready. And we really pride ourselves on that first draft is like practically done. You know, there's been, you know, it, probably like, you know, I would say like once or twice a month, you know, we get a project that is just approved on the first draft. And they're like, all right, you know, done, you know, so like,
nice.
You know, so, and thank you. And I mean, that's what we strive for, because like no one has additional free time to, you know, sort of babysit, you know, their vendor, and no one wants to do that. And so we really just are like, try to like take the responsibility for that and say, like, if we can really understand the strategy, we can get you something on the first draft that should be basically perfect. Obviously, you know, we do offer multiple revisions, you know, three rounds of revisions if needed. And we also include, by default, we include a 90-second version, which is like a great, like, general purpose length, great for like a customer's page. But we also include, by default, a 30 to 45-second version that is really, you know, great for social media. Also, you know, great for a little bit earlier in the buyer journey, as we were talking about.
Definitely.
And then we have some customers who, you know, to your point earlier, we have some customers who create, you know, entirely custom packages, and they might get a 90-second video, the 30 to 45-second video, and then four different, you know, topical sort of, you know, we call them objection crushers, just based on specific, you know, themes or objections. So, yeah. So in start to finish, you know, in a typical project, you know, is about, you know, 30 days start to finish from, you know, when we, you know, actually conduct the interview. And it usually takes about 2 weeks to get it on the calendar with the client and, you know, write the interview questions.
Very good. So that's a pretty quick turnaround. I mean, it's great. And I think, you know, usually when we do stuff internally, like I'm thinking campaigns and things, I like to have 6 weeks to just get the campaign figured out and the copy written and things like that. So that fits right in a nice schedule for a campaign. So where do we go next, Sam? What do you suggest we do? Should we go to your website and look around, or what's the way you would like us to connect with you if this is sounding like something we want to know more about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, so it's just testimonialhero.com, or you can Google Testimonial Hero and we'll pop up. I think I would encourage, you know, anyone who this sounds interesting to, you know, have a look at, you know, we have tons of examples, you know, on our mm-hmm. site, from a lot of, you know, SaaS companies that you will have heard of. You know, so definitely go check it out. We have, you know, both, you know, on-site examples, you know, which are less common, but we still are doing some of them, especially in Europe. And then of course we have a whole page of, you know, fully remote ones. You know, so I would definitely encourage, you know, anyone who is remotely interested to just, yeah, check it out and see the examples in action.
Okay. The other thing, audience members, there's a blog on the website, and you'll get, you know, for those of us who listen to me and love process and numbers and metrics and all that good stuff, the blog is filled with some metrics so that you can, you know, work your numbers and justify putting a solution like this embedded into your touch sequences or series, especially for prospecting. I really like the idea of objection handling, helping, especially even if you're starting out, you know, and don't have a lot of clients. There are ways to produce videos that will help get people over that initial objection of why should I care or why should I talk to you about it? So I think, you know, if you really embrace this as another channel of communication in the multi-channel environment that we work in, I think you'll be very pleased that you came across Sam and his team at Testimonial Hero. Well, thank you so much, Sam, for all of your time today. And I very much appreciate you sharing with us how we can leverage video. I'll put all these links in the show notes. So for those of you who want to get a hold of Sam, all the information will be there for you. Thanks again, and very much appreciate your time, Sam.
It's been a pleasure, Mary Lou. Thank you, and hope to chat again soon.